Danko Leon, I need to talk to you about these guys. These guys are moving in on us.
Gabe, man, from Texas Bully Mafia.
Texas Bully Mafia in the house. And we are the hosts to, we actually don't even have a name just yet. So we are the host to this podcast, the Dog Podcast. And our third host, RJ, is actually not in the studio with us this evening. He had a flight to South Carolina to pick up a little surprise. We'll talk about that later on another episode. But he will not be joining us tonight. But we do have a special guest in the house tonight for this week's episode. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
I'm Kevin Easterwood from What the Frenchies.
What the Frenchies, man. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we have another local breeder, Kevin, from What the Frenchies Kennel. It's a kennel, right?
Yes, sir.
So, and, you know, so we do have him in the studio this week, and we will be discussing DNA. And, of course, you know, just like any other podcast, man, you know, once we pick a subject and we start talking about that and we quickly, you know, yeah, we're just all over the place. But what we're going to try to do with this one is we're going to have you give us a rundown on DNA and just the ins and outs of all that. And then we'll also talk about what you do, what you've done, and, of course, what you plan on doing for the future as well. So, you know, so, yeah, man. So I guess what do you think, man? How do you want to start this off?
I guess
what we could do, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, could do is just have you introduce yourself, how long you've been in the game, what you got going right now, and then, you know, we'll talk about this week's, you know, discussion, which will be on DNA.
All right. Yeah. I'm Kevin Easterwood. I'm What the Frenchies. We've been in Frenchies for about 4 or 5 years. I've been breeding dogs since the early 90s. Boston Terriers, Rottweilers, Bullies, and then we moved into the Frenchies. Did English Bulldogs for a lot of years. So moved into the Frenchies. We do our own progesterone testing, and TCIs, all that stuff.
Okay.
And all that.
Yeah. And of course, you know, this podcast is geared more towards the breeders and stuff like that. But for those people that may have caught wind of what we got going on, may have an interest or just want to hear a bunch of dudes just talk, you know, can you explain to everybody what TCIs are and progesterone testing and all of that? Just a quick rundown of what that is for the people that don't know.
So we'll start out with your progesterone testing. That's testing of the blood to find out when the female is at her prime time to breed. You know, she goes through a lot of cycles in her heat cycle, and you want to hit her at the right time. You want to know when she hits her LH surge, when she hits her ovulation, because ovulation is the most important as to whether or not you're breeding too early or too late, mm-hmm. and you want to go from there. A TCI, it's a lot like an AI. It's similar to, it's done like an AI, but it's similar to a surgical without putting the dog under.
Yeah.
So you go in, it has a camera on it. I can go in, actually see and puff air and make the cervix open and deposit it in the same place they would.
Okay.
As they would a surgical without having to put your dog under.
Okay.
Which is stressful to the dog.
Yeah, for sure. So you said progesterone levels, the numbers.
Yes.
We've heard, oh, man, dude. It's been crazy, all the numbers that we hear, man.
Yeah.
Well, is it different for different breeds? Like, the numbers, are they different for different breeds?
No. It's different for every dog.
Okay.
I mean, no two dogs are going to test out the same. And mm-hmm. I have one female I have to breed really early in her numbers, or she won't take. you know, she just won't carry the litter.
So how early in the numbers?
I mean, as soon as she starts ovulating, I have to breed her.
Oh, wow.
As to where normally when I get to a female, once I see her ovulating, I'll wait 48 hours before I breed her.
Okay.
If I wait that 48 hours on my one female, I won't get a litter out of her. I missed her three times before I figured that out myself.
Yeah. And see, you got to know your dog, right? You got to know, you know, stuff like that. So what if, like, let's say this female that you have, what if you took her to the vet and you weren't doing your own thing? You were, you know what I mean? You was like, hey, well, you know, I'm going to take her to the vet, go get her numbers ran.
That's the way we did it. That's
and
this
you
last
missed.
Time I did the testing on her, but based off previous litters that I had done her on, I mean, we bred her to Gabriel's dog, Tony Montana, and we started early on her.
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice litter. The next time, through my knowledge and my progesterone testing, I learned that if I let the numbers get a little higher, we tend to have a bigger litter on a female.
Okay.
So I was waiting on her to do that with no clue that I was totally missing what she was doing.
Yeah.
So I would miss her every time. I missed her three times in a row trying by that knowledge. Trying to get the bigger litter. Sometimes you just won't get the bigger litter.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to have, I mean, she's been consistent. She had three litters, five each time, three males, two females every time.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, hey, Kevin, how many progesterones do you got to run on a female normally? What's the average?
Man, if you're not running at least four, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. So, would you suggest, how long would you wait? Okay, so let's say you have your first blood tonight.
Yes.
Would you wait a week, 2 weeks before you take her in? Or
so, when I was doing my deal, because I offered a package deal for like $350, I do all the progesterone testing, the breeding and all that. I don't care how many progesterone tests it was. And I would always tell everybody to start on like day four or five.
Okay.
Because some females will come in real quick. And you'll miss it.
By you don't want to miss it, yeah.
By the time you get to them, their numbers or something, but you don't know when they got to that number.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, yes, breed them. No, don't breed them. Are we going to get them or are we not? And that's where a lot of people miss it because they think they can, they go on the old school mentality of day like 9, 11, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Frenchies and English Bulldogs, and they've been mixed a lot into the bullies, that's why a lot of people are missing their bully deals, because a lot of Frenchies will come in 7 days, they'll be done.
Wow.
Some of them will come in and you're not breeding them until day 21.
So first heat is really important. I mean, first blood.
Yes.
You got to make sure that you catch that first blood.
You know, I would say no later than day seven, she should be tested.
Okay.
But even at day seven, you're running the risk of pulling a high number and you don't know when she got there.
Mm-hmm. So you would suggest day four.
Day four.
Okay.
And Kevin's so professional at it. You know, I'm old school. Like he said, I start counting nine days on the head. I think she's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin comes over. I'll call him. Hey, man, she's spotting. We do tests. At that point, I leave everything to Kevin. I don't even write nothing down. Sometimes I'll call him. I'll be like, hey, Kevin, what day did we breed her?
Kevin knows.
Yeah, he's got it. And I'm like, I'm never that way. But when it comes to Kevin, I'm like, you take care of it.
Yeah,
do it. And have we missed some breedings? Yeah, we have. But we've had good success also.
Yeah.
Breedings. You know, it's only normal.
I did 366 breedings last year.
That is crazy, man.
And I got 340 of the dogs to take.
Yeah, I was telling my wife that, you know, right before y'all got here, I told her, I said, man, you know, this dude was, I remember seeing your post, man. You were like, I don't know how many miles you tried, or you probably just said
300,000 miles last year.
That's crazy. So you were everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
And then I remember seeing your post like, hey, man, you know, let's just say I'm in Oklahoma and I'm going to Miami. If there's anybody who needs transport from here to there, let me know.
Right.
So you were doing that as well, right?
Yeah, I was doing everything.
Pick up a dog, go drop it off.
I went coast to coast twice last year.
That's crazy.
I've seen both oceans.
Hell, he even took dogs to breed that weren't even his.
Yeah, I
remember that. Yeah, you're picking up dogs.
A lot of my partners that, you know, if they have somebody that want to do an in-person breeding, I do dogs. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah, and see, you could tell that you're passionate, that you love doing what you do. You know what I mean? And that speaks volumes, man. You know, that's very crucial and critical. And I think when people see somebody like that, you're like, okay, man, I know that my dog's in good hands. You know what I mean? This dude's going to get the work done, you know? And if for whatever reason it didn't take or it didn't happen, it's just because that's just what it is. You know what I mean? It's not because anything. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen.
Hey, when a lot of people don't realize a dog will absorb a litter.
That happened to my female.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until that one female I was just talking about of mine. She absorbed a litter. We knew she had them. She actually had 7 puppies in her. We seen them on the sonogram, and she absorbed every one of them.
That is crazy.
You know, so it's not that whoever done your breeding or whoever did your progesterone test was wrong. Dogs are more in tune to Mother Nature than we are. So if they, for some reason, the dogs are not going to be born right, the weather ain't going to be right, something's wrong, something's off, they will absorb a whole litter.
So whenever that happens, does that cause any harm medically to the female at all?
So the only time you're going to have a problem with the female is if she aborts the litter after like day 53. That's when the skeletons form in the puppies.
Okay.
Until then, she can reabsorb all of those puppies and you'll never even know it happened.
That is crazy. Yep. Wow, that's wild. So, man,
you
that's
hear
crazy.
About people saying their dog had false heat or false pregnancies. They got milk and all that. They didn't have a false pregnancy. They were pregnant.
Yeah.
They just absorbed them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We did a breeding on one of my females, and me and Kevin were like, man, I can't wait to do this breeding, two time, blah, blah, blah. She didn't take. Kevin calls me. He's all upset. I'm like, it happens. You know, it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like beating himself over the head over it. And I'm like, dude,
hey,
don't worry about it.
It sucks, bro. It does,
don't
man.
Worry about
you know?
It. We all go through it.
Yeah.
But Kevin's real professional when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's passionate for it. You know, why I got him, you know.
That's what I told everybody is, of those 26 breedings I missed, half of them was me and my partners.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I was out trying to miss somebody else.
Yeah.
The ones I wanted to take the most.
Didn't happen.
You know, and I told them, I said, maybe I just got a little lax. Maybe I just, because they were our dogs, I wasn't as worried. But
yeah,
I got notebooks full of notes of every dog I done. How many puppies they had, males to females.
That's wild.
At the end of the year, I dropped 6 straight all female litters.
All female?
All females.
That's money.
And then
right
in the Frenchie game, you dropped 3 9 pieces, right?
Yeah.
I saw that, man.
Yeah, we dropped an 11 piece in Frenchies once. So, I mean.
And that's crazy because those Frenchies are so little.
Yeah.
I had an average going of on my litters of the dogs that took an average litter size of 7.
And I've seen like you know, the Frenchies, you know, 9, 7 piece. Yeah. And then you have a Bully, which is a lot bigger of a dog. Still not very big, but still bigger than a Frenchie. And drop 1 or 2.
Yeah,
you know, so, it's just what it is. You know, it's crazy.
This is where you get your smaller litters. So if you drop 2 puppies and they're males, you bred too early. If you drop 2 puppies and they're females, you bred too late. There's a fine line in there that you can cross that it just.
That's crazy.
It'll kill the litter count quick.
Yeah.
Breeding too early. The sperm will actually kill the egg before it's ever aged enough to be fertilized.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll also kill themselves bouncing off the outside of them because when a female first ovulates, the egg has kind of got like a hard shell around it. So the semen can't penetrate it. So it just bounces off of the outside of it and it dies.
Yeah.
The male semen are stronger than a female. So they tend to live longer in the female when it's breeding time. So whatever eggs are left that hadn't been beat to death, the males get to them.
Yeah.
And then later on, the eggs are ripe. The females are faster than the males to get to it. So that's how you end up with females. But the other eggs have already deteriorated because you waited too long.
So that's why it's very important that you catch that.
That's why the testing
so you need to start. You need to start as early as you can.
And then also the machines, right?
Yeah.
What machine you're using? What machine do you use, Kev?
You know, I use the DB100. It is a self-updating machine.
Okay.
Where a lot of these machines out there, when you buy a new package of test, you have to calibrate the machine. If you mess up the calibration on the machine, everything is wrong.
You're off every time.
So mine connects directly to their server. So when it scans my test in, it pulls the parameters from their server. I did get a bad batch in, called them. I worked very closely with the manufacturer of it. Called them and told them these tests ain't reading right. And they told me, yeah, they were. And I told them, no, it's not reading low range. I said, it's not picking anything up until about 4. Mm-hmm. Well, they run another test on up, compared to Minivitis and all that that they do, and I was right. So they went back in. I didn't have to buy a new test. They recalibrated it on their server, and everything went back to normal. So I bought more progesterone tests from my dealer in Florida. He has three big vets in Florida that he sells to, and I ran more progesterone tests than those three vets combined last year.
Dang, that's crazy.
I ran over 1,200 progesterone tests last year.
Wow. That's awesome, man.
So
that's cool.
At $300 a pop?
For the whole kit? Yeah. You know? I mean, if you'd have looked at it, if I'd have charged what the vet was charging, $9 a pop, I mean,
that's... Oh, yeah.
But
I knew I smelled money, bro.
I wanted to keep it.
I said, it's one of these two guys right here. It ain't me, man.
I try to keep it affordable for people because, I mean, it doesn't cost me a ton of money to get the progesterone test.
Yeah.
And I love to do dogs.
What does the vet use normally charge for progesterone?
You Yeah, so they were charging us about $70 to $75. It was $70 last year. This year was already like $74, $75.
Right. And you charge what for the whole kit, Kevin?
$350 for all the tests you want.
So by the time PCI, you done did four tests over test, here.
Right.
You did four tests over here. You done got the, you done pay for more than a whole package.
Not only that, he comes to you.
I came to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little harder this year with gas prices the way it
is. Of course. That,
but
hey, man, you know, inflation. So are you currently still doing progesterone tests?
I slacked off of it because we've had litters on the ground since November.
Okay.
Now, you got to think about that.
He's a whelper also, guys.
Yeah. We're going to take it back to that. Yeah.
So I had to get back to our dogs and my partner's dogs. Yeah. So 366, and I cut it off at the end of November.
That's crazy.
I mean, we had
probably would have hit way over 400 or 500.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, I had a lot of people call. So I just had to quit because I had a litter.
So was it something that you would be doing?
Yes.
The price is right, or?
Yeah, I mean, I still do it. I mean, people still call me. I went out and did a TCI today, you know.
Okay.
But I just had, we've had 1, 2, 4, 7 litters since November that I've whelped.
So people could still get in contact with you?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll give you an opportunity at the very end to like plug your stuff, you know what I mean? So that way you can, you know, people can get out there. But before we started recording, and this happens like, you know, with our other podcast too, man. Sometimes we'll sit around and we'll just start talking, you know, before. And I'm like,
we could have been on the radio.
Yeah, you know, let's hold off real quick. But so like Gabriel said, man, you also whelp dogs.
Yes.
And you said that you have a litter right now that you're whelping that's worth how much?
At least $500,000.
That's crazy.
That's on the low end of the market. There is a full fluffy, is new shade Isabella and tan female in there that, you know.
That one's
a year ago.
Is that a keeper?
I think that one's
a keeper. Is that a keeper or if the price is right?
If we would have had that dog a year ago, a new shade Isabella and tan, full fluffy, it would have sold for $500,000 by itself.
Dude, that is wild.
In this market, man, with the right buyer, we could probably get $200,000 out of it. An easy $100,000 out of that dog. She's got a twin in there that's not a full fluffy, but it's a fluffy carrier that you're still there. And then we have a regular Isabella and tan that, again, I mean, there's just money there.
And I've seen the pictures, man. There's some beautiful dogs.
They're beautiful.
You know, because you post pictures, and of course they belong to, I guess, y'all's other partners.
Yes, Gabriel Pineda.
But I've seen those dogs. There's some beautiful dogs, man. How many dogs do you have?
How many dogs do I have?
Yeah.
That's mine or at my house? Yeah. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 females.
Well, no, I'm talking about in the litter.
In that litter? 7.
7.
We had 7. 5 females, 2 males, unshipped semen.
Wow.
With one breeding, right?
One shot.
That's it.
I
did it.
Progesterone, the TCI, everything.
So whenever they shipped it directly to you?
Yes.
And it was coming out of Vegas, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so. And that's the second time that he's got it shipped out of Vegas that I've done the breeding that we've hit 7 on his females. So.
It's that Sin City semen, bro.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'll give a shout out to that guy. It's Gary Eros. He does Frenchies too, but he's amazing at shipping.
Yeah.
I mean, he can ship it same day through the airport.
Oh, that's cool. So you just have to run them to the airport, or
he does a collection, takes the box to the airport. We pick it up out here at the airport.
So come back and get it done.
Yeah, you're like, hey, Gary, send something over. All right.
Be there. I mean, we're working on getting the capabilities to do that. Our partners in Amarillo from Phoenix's Frenchies, they have that capability. So if I need to ship something out same day, I can just run it up to Amarillo. They ship it out for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And so like, how many Frenchies do you have? I know you just said it, and I kind of just...
I have 5 females. I just retired a female. Just put another female. Well, 2 of the litters I just had, it was the female's retirement litter. So
okay.
One of them went to go live with her retirement family. And then I have mine that she'll never go anywhere. She's retired. Yeah, she's my...
Yeah. And I've seen a few of them. I've been to your house. Yes. You've done some stuff for me.
Yes.
Okay. So, and we'll get back to what... Are you still doing all that other stuff too?
No.
With the, nah, you kind of left all that alone.
Got okay. So busy that
okay,
it's
yeah,
just...
It's just too much.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
One yeah. question I do have. When do you retire your females, Kevin?
After 3 litters. Oh, okay. I mean, some people will go a little longer. And I mean, my vet is really good. He'll tell me. I mean, even on these females, he come out and he's like, I don't see another reason they can't. But I look at it this way. After 3 litters, they've made me more money than anything else has. They deserve to finish their life out.
Just had a good
happy
home.
In a good home. Whatever, you know, and I don't even charge for my retired females. I just want them in a good home. Yeah. I mean, they do have to sign a contract. If they don't give them a good home, I'm coming to get them.
Yeah, yeah.
So
do they get fixed before they?
Yes, I fix them before they leave. Any problems, health issues that they may have, I fix it, and then they go to their new home.
She's gone. That's good, man. That's awesome. So that's cool. So so whelping. Shipper,
progesterone,
transporter, he do it all. That's awesome.
He
man.
Does it all.
If he's got to do with dogs,
he takes care of dogs.
Yeah.
Like next 2 weeks, I'm going out of town. And I'm like, hey, Kevin, I need you to come by and take care of the dogs. Yeah, I'll do it.
That's cool, man.
You know, I
mean. And I'm that way. I don't care if we're partners, we're friends or whatever. I'm there, you know.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
You've seen, I went to Oklahoma City a lot because – We're kind of partners with some people up there. And
is that where Milkman's from?
He is actually from Amarillo.
Okay.
From Phoenix's Frenchies.
But you took him
yes,
up there with
and
you, right?
He's co-owned with Thunder City Frenchies in Oklahoma City, Christine okay. and Puckett. And so I'm real good friends with all them. But, yeah, so in a two-month span, that just the breedings I done on Milkman, he made over $100,000.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the top studs in – shout out to Christina. She did produce him off of Maui, which was one of those top studs in America, owned by Justin Crawford. But, yeah, she that dog, if you see him in person, he's perfect from head to toe.
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful. If you've seen Gabriel's Tony, he's not quite that small, but, I mean, he's in
he's
that.
He's a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What color is he?
He is a cream. He is actually a platinum. He's lilac under his cream.
Oh, wow.
That's another DNA thing.
Yeah, he's a beautiful dog.
Yes.
I've seen the pictures. He's cool.
Yeah, Tony didn't like when he came to visit.
Nah. Intimidation.
Nah.
Intimidation. Hey, man, get out of here, pretty boy.
Yeah.
He said, you're too light.
Yeah, he's a white boy right here. Nah, I don't want him. Nah, I'm just
joking. Hey, go sit outside the sun for a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. So DNA, man. How important is DNA? In the French game, is it important to know these things, or is it kind of a preference, or
it's a money grab?
Okay, so
if all you're worried about is DNA, then you're just there for the money. As to where you look at Gabriel's yard, he's still a standard colored, but got the best structure around. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dogs out there with the best DNA. But they look like German Shepherds when it comes to Frenchie. I mean, they're just big, ugly dogs, long, lanky dogs. They really don't stick to the standard of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years ago when I met Gabriel and the other Gabriel and we started talking, you know, we all come to the conclusion we wanted to do DNA, but we wanted to do it the right way. And that is to breed it in slowly so you don't lose your structure. Mm-hmm. And again, that litter that's on the ground at my house is probably going to be the best structured fluffy Frenchies to hit the market. And I don't care what anybody says. I'd put anything up against it. They can bring their fluffies out. I'm telling them when these dogs get grown, they won't be able to touch them. And as we continue on into their original lines and breeding them back into them, there will be a full fluffy Tony Montana in whatever color you
want. That's going to be crazy, bro.
Game over then.
It's game over. It is, you know, and I mean, we're just a breeding or so away from that.
Yeah. So how do you test for DNA, man? Like, what's the procedure on that?
There's multiple ways. Like, when they're young, you can take them in and have their dew claws cut off and send the dew claws in.
Okay.
Or you can draw blood, put blood on a blood card and have it sent in. Or you can wait till they're older and swab the inside of their mouth. Okay. So, or if you have an older dog, you can just swab the inside of its mouth, send it off, find out what its DNA is.
Okay.
So, but if you want it quick back when you're trying to sell a litter, the quickest way is either to do claws or to prick their pad and put some blood on a card and send it in.
So whenever, like, let's say you get the test results back, you know, and the DNA is like, you know, whatever it is, right. How do you know, like, is there like, whenever I saw it, I was like, damn, what is this? You know, so I try to figure it out, like, you know what I'm saying? Is that an acronym? But I know it was the DNA, but right. How do you know?
How do you translate it into what it is?
So most companies will kind of tell you what it is. There's actually apps out there for it now. Color My Frenchie. You can actually put the DNA in. Just because it's a Frenchie doesn't mean DNA for a dog is DNA for a dog color. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you put the colors in, it'll tell you what color the dog is.
Okay.
But, you know, so your A. Elliott will... You know, that's where it tells you if you're a solid colored dog or you got tan points, you got A or AT or AY or a fawn dog, you know, and then you move to B, which in the Frenchie world, the B used to be detestable chocolate because there was two chocolates, but they couldn't figure out where the other chocolate came from. They couldn't test for it. Well, now they can, and it's actually cocoa, COCOA or whatever, but kind of means chocolate. So the other one is B, and I was always meant brown, but we called it testable chocolate and non-testable chocolate. Well, now they both can be tested for. We just kind of just left it as testable chocolate. But on the DNA report, it's brown. That's what it is. So, and then you move to the D, which everybody says is blue. It is, but it's really a dilute gene. That's what dilutes black to blue. That's your dilute gene. And then you move to... like I said, the cocoa gene in the Frenchies, which is used to be the non-testable chocolate. And this is the way I tell people to differentiate them. So the old non-testable chocolate, the cocoa, is a dark chocolate. The B is more like a milk chocolate. There's two different colors in those chocolates in real life. That's how you can kind of differentiate, put it in your head like that. And then after that, you go, they've got pie, brindle. If your report comes back and it has KB on it, your dog is brindle. Even if it has tan points, it's a trindle then. The brindle will only show up in the tan points. But it is brindle, and it can pass that on. And that's not a well-received trait in Frenchies, brindle. And I don't know why. To back up, so way back in the day, 100 years ago or whatever, AKC went with a substandard color. It's fawn, black with white chest, pied, brindles. That's the only acceptable colors in an AKC show ring.
So real quick, man, for those that don't know, what is a pied?
A pied is a dog that's got the spots all over it, mostly white with colored spots on it.
Okay.
Like a cow pattern type deal.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And so... That's what AKC accepts. And still to this day, that's the only colors they will accept in their show ring. Doesn't mean you can't register these other dogs and these other colors and these fads. It just means you can't show up to an AKC show with them. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest not to, because AKC breeders do not like fad breeders. They don't like color breeders. Hmm. But it's like, you know, two rival gangs meeting at a dog show. It just don't go good. So,
that's crazy.
You know, but they banned a lot of colors. So they just kind of started breeding away from them. Well, there's hundreds of years of structure bred into pieds and brindles and fawns and all that. So then when the fad colors started coming around, when you start breeding away from those standard colors is where you lose your structure.
What do you think people say, no pied, no brindle?
Some big kennel, sometime or another, said they didn't want pied or brindle. And that's all it takes. One big breeder to say Pied and Brindle is bad. You know, if the top kennel in America goes out tomorrow and says Isabella's is trash, stay away from them, that will catch on. Because everybody wants to ride the wave. So they'll avoid that color.
So all this Isabella and Lilac, all that was really back in the day, even with the bullies. We just didn't know it, right?
Right. Yeah, so back in the day with your bullies, y'all called them champagnes.
Mm-hmm. Or some people called it the red nose.
Right, you know. But really what it was an Isabella. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Not even. And even now, like the bully breeders, they're not even into all that.
No. You know, and that's on the bully side of it. Whoever busts out first and starts DNA testing and health testing will corner the market in the bully world. They'll take the bully world over. Because when you can guarantee the health of your dog and you can guarantee what litters you're going to have, because that's why you DNA test, to match two dogs to get the best possibility to get this color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bullies, I know tan points try to sell real well. In bullies.
My DNA app on my phone, it says Kevin Easterwood. So I'm like, Kevin, let me know. What is this?
What's you know, but in the bully world, if they would at least just DNA test for color. But that's the other great thing about the bully world. They don't care about color. It's funny because they care about structure and the way a dog looks. Don't get me wrong. There's some messed up structured bullies out there. They've taken some of them a little far. But
yeah.
The color isn't, yeah, they like Merle, they like tan points, but they're not worried. If they have a whole black litter, they don't care. If the dogs look good, they sell for the same amount as they would if they were.
Or even a pie dog.
Right. They don't care. They don't care about brindle. They don't care about none of that. They care about what the dog looks like, which is where the Frenchie should be. You know, you should care what your dog looks like before you care what color it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And Gabriel will testify, I don't care. I don't care how many dogs show up where. If there's a chocolate dog in the bunch, that's the one I'm attracted to. I don't care about all these other colors. I'll take a chocolate dog over any of them.
And it's something about chocolate too, man. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we keep talking about, you know, whenever we get our girl to take, and I'm like, man, all I want is a chocolate stud, bro. You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see.
You don't see a lot of them. I mean, it's another color that people go for the lilacs and they go for these other colors, but they skip over colors and just they've got a place and they can make the same colors like Tony. Mm-hmm. I bred him to my chocolate brindle female. I had a lilac and tan female. And this was my second litter in Frenchies, and I sold her for $10,000 in Florida. The lady wanted her $10,000. I didn't want to sell her. That was going to be my keeper. But $10,000 is $10,000.
Yeah, hey.
You know, and for just starting out in the Frenchie world. But that's the good thing about Frenchies. In bullies, you kind of got to be somebody to get that big top dollar. In Frenchies, you just have to have the right DNA.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. If you have the DNA in the dog,
that's
you're going to make the money.
And that's where I think in the Frenchie game, it's kind of going down. It's spiraling down because of they see a dog that, the DNA is what they want, and they'll go for it.
Yeah.
And the market right now in the Frenchies is not as bad. It's not as high as it was before. Like, now it's kind of low, don't you think?
Well, and because my lower end dogs, my brindle dogs that I breed, last year I could have sold my brindle dogs for $6,000 or $7,000, even for a male. But with the economy the way it is, my low-end breeders are getting eat up at the gas pump. They're not. Mm-hmm. That money's not there for that low-quality dog. So now, you either better be on top-notch DNA with your dogs, or don't do a breeding.
Hell, and now everybody wants to breed. Right. I don't know what's going on. They just want to breed.
Well, you know, during the pandemic, when everybody was kind of getting the free money from the government, and was seeing all the, they were sitting at home more on social media, now they're seeing these dog posts and everybody saying, I'm making this much money on dogs. Because at that time, the fluffies was hitting their high. And I mean, they were selling for $250,000 to
$500,000
a dog. What up, y'all? I'm Anthony.
And I'm Lacey.
And we are the hosts of the number 2 podcast in the world, the Let Me Find Out podcast. A real, raw, and very transparent podcast that covers any and everything life brings our way.
On this podcast, we will hold nothing back. We will cover topics such as faith, marriage, life with kids, and just the average day-to-day life that we live.
We will have an occasional guest or guests stop by and join us for special episodes.
So tune in every Wednesday to the Let Me Find Out podcast, the number two podcast in the world.
We are available on all major platforms to find out.
So let me find out. Peace.
Bye.
So everybody thought, I'm going to run out of dollars. So they went out and bought every $1,000, $1,500 Frenchie they could find and thought they were going to make $500,000. And now I call them the pandemic breeders, but we got pandemic babies, litters. This is the time from when they bought those females, they've bred them now, and they're all hitting the market. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go on Facebook, if somebody even posts up, my kid graduated kindergarten today, everybody that's a dog person on their page goes under there and posts their puppy for sale.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
you know, they're yeah. not even.
Dude, that's one thing that I cannot stand, bro. You know what I mean? It's yeah. kind of like, let's say you have, you know, the litter you have right now, you know, and you're posting, hey, man, you know, whatever. And then somebody else goes right under you and, hey, I got these for sale. Like, say, man, take that somewhere else, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so a lot of the Frenchie groups, and I'm an admin in a few of them, you'll find mine because there's not a high count of people. They're usually about 1,000. But some of these groups that got like 7,000 in them, 6,000 of those are people from Nigeria.
They let everybody in, too.
I mean, they got a fake profile if you just look at it, but the admins don't take time to look at the group. So you get a lot of
scan through.
Yeah, you get a lot of people getting scammed, and a lot of people get scammed, especially on the Frenchie side of it, because everybody wants that cheap dog. Mm-hmm. So if you see a fluffy advertised for $2,500, run! It's a scam. Nobody's selling you a full fluffy Frenchie for $2,500. You know, yeah. I mean, there is some dogs out there. I mean, I got a couple males right now I would pet home for that, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. The Frenchie side of it is. It almost makes me want to get back into the bullies, but.
Oh, yeah.
I have my thoughts on the bully side of it.
Hey, Kevin, let me ask you this, going back to DNA. What does a dog need to have in order to be called New Shade?
So a New Shade Isabella has to have two copies of the testable chocolate, two copies of blue, and two copies of the cocoa gene. The other chocolate to be a New Shade. If he doesn't have two copies of the cocoa and he only has two copies of testable and two copies of blue, then it's just an Isabella.
Okay.
If you take a copy of blue away from that and a copy of cocoa away from that and it's just got two copies of the testable, then it's a Rojo.
It's a what?
Called a Rojo.
A Rojo. Red.
Red. Spanish for red, you know. They look more red than they do chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they don't even have to have a copy of blue or cocoa or anything. If they have two copies of that, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. So, and as anything, it takes two copies to make a dog a color. They get each one from a parent. So you can't breed a female that only carries one copy of testable to a dog that doesn't carry one and make an Isabella. They both have to carry it. You can't breed a fluffy carrier to a non-fluffy carrier and create a fluffy. You can't even breed a full fluffy to a non-fluffy, a one that doesn't carry fluffy. It takes two of those genes. The only genes it don't, Brindle is a dominant gene. It only takes one copy of Brindle to make the dog Brindle. The same with Merle. It only takes one copy of Merle to make the dog Merle. It's either Merle or it's not.
Carry it.
Right, you can't carry Merle. And that's the other thing. You can't carry Isabella. You can't carry Lilac.
So either it's either you are or you're not.
Right.
There's no carrier.
Right. I mean, so Isabella is a shade that is created by other colors. Lilac is two blues and two chocolates, the old chocolate. So that's a lilac. It turns out gray. Mm-hmm. Two blues and the two testables turns out more the champagne color. Now you combine them all together and they turn out an even different color. I don't know how to explain it. It's a different type of champagne color. But so you'll see a lot of people advertise, oh, they're an Isabella carrier. No, they're not. You can't carry Isabella. You can't carry Lilac. That's made by multiple. Now, they can carry testable, blue, everything to make an Isabella. They can be an Isabella producer, but they sell pipe dreams to people.
How many arguments have you gotten into over that?
On when you go to my group, one of my first pinned posts is that if you say your dog is a lilac carrier or an Isabella carrier, you're out of here. Learn the terminology.
Yeah.
You can tell me all day that it can produce an Isabella, and I will agree with you 100%, but it cannot carry that. Mm-hmm. And for new breeders coming in, and this is where my argument is, you're getting new people to come into the breed, and you're selling them a pipe dream and upcharging them for something that's not there. It's not possible.
And speaking of money on that, too, a lot of people spend thousands of dollars to make these rainbow litters that you guys have right now, right?
Yes. So, I mean, I know of people that have spent over $500,000, almost $1 million to create this litter that's at the house. But we've done it the right way. We started with a foundation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a shout out to Gabe Pineda, because he deserves the credit in his litter and what he's done. But he started one breeding at a time. He started with a dog, and started. And I'm not going to tell people what he's got into it, because then they'll be like, I don't want to buy his dogs because that's all he's got into it. But I can tell you this. I couldn't even touch buying half of Gabriel's BMW out there for what he's got in that litter. To get to this point to create that litter. Compared to everybody else, it's pennies in the bucket.
Basically, all the stars lined up for him at the right time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kid him all the time, because it doesn't matter what he breeds. He always gets the best DNA out of it. His last litter that I whelped for him, he had two females. Out of a black and tan dog bred to Milkman, which now Milkman's a full cream. Now, his black and tan carried a copy of Blue, a copy of Coco, a copy of Fluffy, and a copy of Cream. He got two cream dogs out of it. One of them was a full Fluffy Platinum from two Fluffy carriers, so everything's got to line up. Now, Milkman, because he's a lilac, is always going to pass on a copy of Blue, always pass on a copy of Coco. Now, his Fluffy, as a crapshoot, he might pass it on, he might not. Mm-hmm. So then you get to Panda, again, she carries Blue, she carries Coco. It's a crapshoot if she passes that on or not. And down to the Fluffy, it's a crapshoot whether or not she passes that on. Sure as heck, he did. Full Platinum Fluffy. You could get out of that litter. Two females, two puppies.
These last three litters you had on your own personal yard.
Yeah.
How many pups were they total?
17 puppies.
Out of three litters, and out of all those 17 puppies, how many were testable?
I had a lot of them that carried the testable, but I only had two puppies out of 17 that could produce an Isabella, New Shade Isabella now. Out of 17.
Had it been Gabe's litters, what do you think?
He'd had 17 out of 17. He just don't miss. And I mean, even this litter, he bred a Fluffy carrier to carriers. They were both carriers. Neither one of them was a full Isabella or nothing. But his litter it's all there. I mean, he hit perfect. And then to think again, he's going to take that mama. And this is what people need to pay attention to. So if you're going to have a carriers and stuff, you want to know how that line of your dogs pass on those genes, if they're real strong. So the 17 puppies I have, the mama to the litter that Gabe has right now, we used her brother. He's a full Fluffy. His name's Suge Knight. Carries testable. Doesn't carry Blue or whatever. But I bred all three of my females to him. 17 puppies off of him. But he passed his copy of that testable chocolate on to 14 of the 17 dogs. Well, now Gabe brings his sister out. So now we know her genes is probably strong, because their daddy passed that same gene on very strong. And she did. It hit. And the other dog did. So when you're buying dogs, if you're going to buy off a DNA, find out what the parents was and how did they pass their genes along, because it progresses down the line. Mm-hmm. Same when you're buying a female. You kind of want to know what the litter size was, because they kind of stick to that.
And the male off those, the sire to those pups are off of Gary's male, Island Boy, right?
Yeah, it's off of Gary Eros' yard, Island Boy. He was a Merle. But again, he was only a carrier of a lot of things. He's a chocolate Merle, so he carried two copies of chocolate, copy of vegetable, copy of Blue, copy of Fluffy. So out of seven puppies, breeding a Fluffy carrier to a Fluffy carrier, you got three full Fluffies out of it. That's pretty good odds. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, in your opinion, where do you think this DNA is going to be in 5 years? This DNA deal, the DNA, I mean, what do you honestly
I'm playing the structure game. Like I've told you always, it'll always come back to structure. I say in a year or two, all these dogs are going to be the same. Where can they go now? There's not another color. I mean, unless they mix another breed into here somewhere, there's not another color for them to go. So eventually, colors is colors. Everybody's going to want to go back to structure.
Back to structure. Trying to fix it.
Trying to fix what they've already screwed up. So if we're already there, like Gabriel, it's just like anything. Nobody ever thought bell bottoms would come back either, but they did. Structure's going to come back. They don't care what color it'll be.
So. Wear bell bottoms, bro. Find out. So how expensive is it to get DNA testing done? Is it expensive?
It's about, to test them for fluffy and everything, it's about $155 a puppy.
A puppy. Wow.
Now, they do give you a litter discount if you send in more than six. I think they give you like 10% off.
Okay. So what did it run you when you did all 13 or 17 puppies, right?
Yeah.
What was the ticket on all that?
Yeah, so I think it ended up being $135 a dog.
That's money right there, yeah. Man. That's crazy.
And then you add in your C-sections and your other vet visits, and that's why.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're not cheap dogs. There's a lot of money. And Gabriel will tell you, so me and my wife do the dogs. So when I'm whelping the litters, whether it's mine or somebody else's, 24 hours a day for the first 3 weeks of those dogs' lives, somebody's watching them.
Somebody, yeah.
There's eyes on those dogs. They are never left alone. The mama's never left alone with them. I mean, I'm old school. I think the mama should stay with the dog. There's a lot of breeders out there now that have incubators and stuff. They pull the mama from them, put the puppies in the incubator, and go to bed. I don't believe in that.
Not only that, when Kevin whelped my litter, he had a camera on it. So I could tap in anytime and see my own litter.
Yes. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and I thought that was really, really cool because you don't have to go to his house.
It was cool until about midnight when I hear somebody talking in a bedroom and I'm like, who's in my house?
Yeah.
Gabriel's talking on the camera. I forgot I had a microphone.
Like, hey, man.
Hey, I'm like, hey, I'm talking to my dog.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, I don't want to go out there and say I'm going to whelp litters for everybody, but I do. I'll do whatever.
So what do you charge to whelp a litter just roughly? I mean, depending on, of course, the litter.
Right.
I know like that litter that you're whelping for Gabe, that's not your average litter. That's a money litter. So I know your cost there.
That litter, if I was going to whelp this litter and he was going to get charged for it, I'm not going to discuss mine and Gabe's deal, but if I was going to charge him for that, it would cost him $2,000 a week for me to whelp that litter.
Wow.
Minimal.
And you look at it, $2,000 a week, and you what, 6 weeks?
Right.
I mean, he's going to make that back on one dog
right.
Fold.
It's going to cost him $12,000, but he's supposed to make $500,000 on
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. So $250,000, man, for one of these pups. Where do you find people like that for this type of dog?
A real buyer will find you.
That's yeah.
It. They're you looking. You don't have to find them. I mean, I've sold dogs for $10,000, $20,000. All that, the buyer will find you. It's not hard. I mean, there's only a few people in America that's going to do that. And normally it's a bigger kennel mm-hmm. or somebody with money that's trying to get in.
Or any buyer right. from a $5,000 dog to a $250, they're going to find you.
Right.
You know, when I post up my pups, I never, never post a dog that says it's for sale or looking mm-hmm. for a new home. I just post them up. Sometimes they hit me up on Facebook like, hey, how much you want for it? Is he up for grabs? Is she? Then we work our way through there.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think I've ever posted a dog that I'm actually selling. I just post it up.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they'll come and yeah. ask you.
If you yeah. get a following, you don't have to worry about it. Your customers are always there.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. I mean, I have repeat customers. I have whatever. But you're right. When you get into, I can tell you this. It would be easier for me to find a $100,000 buyer right now for one of these Isabellas than it is for me to find a $2,500 buyer for my Brindles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
If you've got $100,000 spent on a dog, you have money.
So let's say you find somebody that says, hey, man, $250,000, no problem. How do you do that? Cash? Like, do we meet in person? I'm coming to you. You're coming to me.
Like, that kind of money, you're going to meet in front of a police station.
Yeah,
right? You know what I mean.
Yeah, we're going to meet somewhere. I've been nervous on a few deals, but at that point, you can bet there's going to be more than one of us there.
Yeah,
there's probably going to be some guns around because.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to get robbed for a dog. And I'm sure them people ain't going to get robbed for their $250,000 either, you know.
So there's got to be a lot of safety security
now,
right there.
When we get to this point, when you start selling dogs for that much, you need to open an LLC. You need to run a legitimate business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're headed. And that's where Gabe needs to start heading because he's nobody really knows him right now. But mark my words, this time next year, Lubbock will be the hot spot for the hottest DNA and best structured dogs in America.
So let's say this dude buys this dog, $250,000, right?
Yeah.
What's the return on something like that if it's done right? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, if it's a stud and you're going to charge $250,000, they're probably going to charge somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 a stud fee.
You know but they saying? Also got to put in the work.
But they have to put in the work. But you're looking at people that know that they can make this back. So, you know, to start off with, if you spent $250,000, well, if his stud fee's $25,000, you got to sell 100 of them, right, to get your money back. If it's the right stud, that's no problem. Because a good stud should sell in its first year being open $150, $200 stud credits if that's the stud. But you can play the long game too. You can start studying him out at 8 months. If you can make $500,000 on that dog, you made $250,000. You know, that's no different than somebody saying, I'm going to give you $25 to see if I can make $50. To those kind of buyers, money's really not an object. I mean, that's...
Hell, and some of them might pay $250,000 for a dog and not even stud them out.
Now, I will tell you, there is one of the full fluffies that hit America, the first ones. His name was Yolo. People in Arizona own him, and they were buying him from a guy over in the UK. $150,000. I believe it was $250,000, what it was. And they were like, and this is their story. It's on their website. I can't remember the Pine Rock Frenchies or whatever it is. But the guy said, what are y'all scared? And they said, what if it doesn't work out? And he said, what if it does? So they took everything out of their kids' college funds, mortgaged their house, come up with the money. 1 year after they had the dog, their house was paid back off. And they had more money in their kids' college fund than the kids were going to need for college. And they said they were sitting on $1 million. It worked out. But the husband told the wife, if we're going to do this, we're going to name him YOLO. You only live once. So that's where he got his name. And that's their story. And, I mean, they have taken off and they have done good. But it only takes one dog to put somebody on top. And I tell everybody this. We've got Aaron J. from Texas Elite Frenchies, one of the big kennels in Dallas. Him and his partners, Anthony and Joanne, they all stick together. But they bought one dog, and I believe his name was Trigger. He was a small lilac and tans. When they come out, set them up above everybody else. Now, it just starts rolling from there. Now their dogs are worth more. You come along, you get dogs like, you got Christina Puckett and Shelby Nelise with Milkman. He was produced off of Maui, probably Maui's best son to date. Again, now they're known. They've got a big stud line up there. They're killing it. They're crushing it. It only takes one dog. You got Jorge Gutierrez down there in Austin, fat boy. He was a black dog. Set them off. You know, he does all kinds of stuff down there. If anybody's in that area, if they're not messing with 512 Frenchies, they're probably not doing it right. I mean, so it only takes one dog to set somebody off in this. And that's where a lot of people will be like, well, if I spend the $250,000, it's not just that dog that it does for them. It raises the price of their puppies. It brings awareness to their kennels.
So at the same time, it's like you say, one dog can set this off. One dog can do it for you.
Yes.
But you have to put in the work as well, though, right?
Yes.
You have to promote. You have to, you know what I mean? You have to do all of that, right?
Every day.
So,
you know, and that was me. I don't have $250,000, and I'm not going to lie to anybody and tell them I do to go buy a dog. So I bet on myself. Learned how to do progesterone tests. I could buy the equipment to do that. Taking these studs out for these other people, going all over the United States, those are as much my customers now as they are theirs. Mm-hmm. They didn't drive their own stud to go do that breeding. I didn't. So when I have my stud and it's ready to go, these people know I'm not scared to drive to Arizona,
yeah,
West Virginia,
Florida,
New York, California, Vegas, you name it. People know. You always hear people, oh, we'll pull up. You pull up in your own town. Will you pull up on the East or West Coast? I will. I don't care. I'll put the dog in the car right now, and I'll be there tomorrow to do your breeding.
How much coffee you drink, man, on the road?
DB.
Dr. Pepper.
That's all day.
Dr. Pepper and beef jerky.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
Man, there's times me and Kevin are on the phone, and he's like, man, I'm going to bed. All right, I'll hit you up tomorrow. And we talk about this every day. It's a podcast on the phone between me and Kevin or at home.
Yeah.
I'll call him the next day. Hey, Kevin, what are you doing? Oh, I'm on my way to Arizona. Oh, I'm on my way to Cali. I'm like, what?
Hey.
Yeah, it just popped up overnight. Yeah.
Like,
all right. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. I just don't. Heck, I went and picked up a truck for a guy because he's like, I don't want to have it shipped out here. What's his name? Ray Pacina. He does bullies. Great Dax line dogs, but he's like, you go to North Carolina and pick this dog up or this truck up for me? You take my truck and trail? Yeah.
In the middle of the pandemic, remember?
Yeah, in the middle of the pandemic. I left at 4 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and I was sitting back at his shop. It was 19 and a half hours to where that truck was. I was sitting back at his shop Friday morning at 9 o'clock. I went there, loaded that truck up, and drove home. You couldn't stop. I had to go around Louisiana because you couldn't go through there because they would quarantine you for 14 days.
Dang.
So we had to go up and around and all that. I don't care. I'll drive all day. I literally put three cars in the graveyard last year. Everybody's like, why don't you drive some new car if you're making money? Why? I'm just going to put miles on it and kill it. I would never go out and buy a new car right now because I know what I'm going to do to it.
Yeah.
I don't even change the oil in it. I just pull the filter. I just pull the filter.
Throwaway cars.
Yeah, right. I do. Yeah. I pull the filter, put a new one on it, add a quart of oil, and keep going. I don't care. When it crashes, I don't care because I ain't got nothing in it. I've already got my use out of it.
I mean, I done made my money back on this one too.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it away.
The Lubbock police auction is great.
Oh, yeah. He sells cars too. I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I do that too. Yeah. So,
come to him,
jack of all trades.
Yeah, you do it all. Like, hey, man, you know what? Go ahead and bring that dog. I'm gonna buy off you in that car you said.
Well, not only that, even like my Montana Labs, the building, I'm like, hey, Kevin, you know anybody that can wire it up for me? Yeah, I'll do it. I said, really? He's like, yeah. Came out one weekend, knocked it out in a few hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, all right.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy that was gonna buy a dog from me here a while back. And he was like, hey, I ain't gonna be able to buy the dog. There's an electrical problem in my house, and I'm gonna have to call an electrician. I told him, baloney. I went over there and fixed his electric problem for him so he'd buy my dog.
You wouldn't buy that dog, bro.
You know,
he's yours.
I'm
just go get the wires and the clips. And
you know, so. But if you're going to do this and it's going to be a full-time, you got to have some side hustles. I don't care what job you do, what you're going to do. If you want to make it, you better be able to hustle too.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Man. I know all about that.
So.
I don't see how some people do it without a side hustle. It's crazy.
Right.
Hey, Kevin. So when me and you talk on the phone, we're always planning how many breedings ahead?
3-4 breedings ahead.
All the time. You know, it's
how many times are those breedings that you guys discuss change?
Oh, several times.
Several times.
It changes, right?
Yeah, because, you know, at one point you're thinking this and then something else comes into play. Yeah. Like, for instance, right now there's litter Kevin's talking about. You know, I'm working on my thing at home, trying to build foundation. Mm-hmm. Kevin's doing all his color and so forth. Once we mix that and the formula is perfect and we produce something that we really, really like, foundation or structure with color and all that, that's what we want.
Dude, that's how me and Rick, you know, the other host of the podcast that's not here tonight, man, our plans and vision has changed so many different times. And I'm like, bro, like my brain is starting to scatter a little bit, man. You know, because you see something, there's a new stud, there's a new... something, you know what I mean? It's always changing.
That's the way we are. And that's what I tell everybody. And they're like, what stud are you going to use?
Like,
it's not a done deal until the breeding is
done. Until the breeding's ready to go.
We'll never know. And also, one thing, me, like that other day I called Kevin. I say, I know we're friends, we're partners, do this. I've got a question for you. I want you to shoot me straight.
commercial.
Here's one out of Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas?
Follow me. You're rocking with the
Dell Podcast. Yo, what's up, everybody? Be sure to tune in every Friday to rock with the homies, Eric and Jonathan, on the Pendejos Podcast, streaming live on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Now back to our regular scheduled program.
Because I'm going to do the same to you. I ask him a question, and he responds with a straight answer.
Yeah,
I respect that more than him just beating around the bush and just feeding me what I want to hear. Yeah. No, he's like straight up.
Yeah,
we're like that with each other. And at the end of the day, you know, you think about it and it works. Mm-hmm. It works for both of us, you know. Yeah. And me and Kevin, we talk every single day, and it's all about dogs.
It was a little over 2 years ago that I met Gabriel for the first time, and we showed up to a dog show,
a toy drive.
And I had my Frenchie there, my female, and everybody's like, have you met Gabriel? He's got Tony Montana's back. No, I don't know who this Gabriel is. Who's the other guy in Lubbock with the Frenchie? Because there wasn't a whole lot here.
Yeah.
He showed up with Tony. Tony was, what, 8 months
old? 8 months old.
My female had just finished whelping her first litter. And at that point, I mean, we got pictures of them. There's posts on my Facebook. Hell, they showed up my memories today.
Yeah.
You know, of where they met for the first time. And that breeding was locked in then. No ifs, ands, or buts. And we never deviated from it. When she came into heat, I called him. We did the breeding, and the rest is history. I made a lot of money off of that.
Say, man, Tony's solid, bro. Thanks, you know what I mean?
Appreciate
We're going to have to post him, and of course, we'll post your dogs, too, on the social medias and stuff. Like I said, you know, this podcast is still brand new. This will actually be the second episode that we drop, but once I have the Instagrams and the Facebooks, pictures will go up, man. You know, I do want to shout out everybody that we have and promote, help you guys promote and stuff. And I know you guys do a lot of that yourself, but just as a token of appreciation for hopping on the podcast and stuff like that, you know, we do want to promote pictures and just different services that you offer as well. But that's awesome, man. You know, and there's not too many times that plan will get talked about today and happen. You know what I mean? Right. It'll change. But when you know what I mean?
Well, like today, Kevin went by the house and he seen my new Tony Montana son.
Hey, first time. I have not seen him in person, bro, but the pictures, I know they don't do him justice.
No, the pictures don't. But I knew Gabriel well enough that he wouldn't go off of his yard and buy a dog that didn't meet the Tony standard.
Right. Yeah.
I know exactly his type of dog.
Oh, he's fire, bro.
That dog is, but the funny thing is, I have a female at my house right now, the same age as him, that'll match him.
And the plan's locked in.
Well, we talked about that, and
you know, so I mean, it's there.
Well, we talked about taking him to my other Tony daughter, my Tony male to my Tony daughter, something off of that with these new litter that he just had. They just had, you know, that I mean, hell, his puppies just barely opened their eyes, and we're already planning to use one of his studs on one of my females.
But you got to look at this. So this litter that Gabe has at my house right now, the foundation to that back is the same dogs that built Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
it's, you know, coming around.
When you start taking that back into that blood again, like me taking those females and breeding them back to that male or whatever, bringing all that old blood back to the front, that's how we shrink them down, back down, keep the structure where we want them, and put them in as a fluffy.
Right.
So
so it's like, it's a formula, and you got it down.
Oh, yeah. It's ingredients.
Yeah.
Anybody that's breeding that doesn't pay attention to a pedigree, on the bully side, it's hard because they're not always truthful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But on the Frenchie side, they're pretty straight up. So you can ask Gabriel. He had a guy hit him up last year or whatever to do a breeding with Tony. Sent me the pedigree. Come to find out, well, I love the blood that dog was off of anyways, and I was talking him into it. But come to find out, back in their pedigrees, they both came from the same bloodline way back in the pedigree, which was a shark bloodline, which was a hot commodity at one time.
Yeah.
So you can breed those dogs together and just lock that structure in. Mm-hmm. You've got to look now. And Gabriel always says it. Gabriel wants dogs that when people look at it, they're like, oh, that's a Texas Bully Mafia dog, you know?
Just know. So is there any way to check the DNA off of a female that's carrying a litter in her belly at the moment? Like, can you test and
you can't test the puppies in her, but you can test her.
Okay.
So
not like there's no way to like test to see like, okay, we're gonna for sure have there's no way.
So
basically, well, you can do the app.
Well, if you do this, if you know what your female carries and you know what your male carries, you can come pretty close to knowing what they're. So if you take a lilac dog and breed it to a lilac dog, there's only one possibility. They're all lilacs. So now, like his chocolate and tan female, if you bred a lilac and tan female to his chocolate and tan female, there's only two possibilities. Lilac and tans and chocolate and tans. That's the only thing you're going to get out of that litter. Now, when you take a dog like Gabe has, a black and tan female that only carries one copy of blue, one copy of cocoa, one copy of testable, and then you breed it to another dog that only pretty much carries one copy of all that, there's 100 combinations of dogs that can come out of that, which even makes his litter even more special that all those genes clicked, which means those dogs are passing them on strong. Those puppies will pass them on strong. And that's what you want to build yours off of. Structure that passes along great and DNA that passes along great.
Yeah.
So that's, but as far until they hit, but you know, and DNA is funny because I had a female, one of my litters, she only carried the A gene, which when you mix the A gene with the AT gene, you can still get tan points. ATAT is tan points. ATA is tan points. AA is a solid colored dog. AYA, AYAT is a fawn dog. It doesn't matter. But so she was AYA. I bred her to Shug, which is an ATA. I would have bet any amount of money that I would have got a tan pointed dog out of that litter. I would have got an ATA out of that litter. At least one puppy. Six fawn dogs. Not one time did she pass on her A gene. It's not a guarantee. Six puppies, she didn't pass that gene on to one of them. She was also brindle, but she didn't pass her brindle on to not one of those puppies. So that's why I tell everybody that's scared of brindle, don't be scared of brindle. Nibs, my female I'm talking about, her first two litters, she had one brindle in each litter.
Hey,
five puppies.
What color is Tony?
Tony's fawn.
What color were his parents?
Both his parents were brindle.
And he don't carry brindle.
And he don't carry brindle.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Both of his parents were brindle.
Yes.
And he came out fawn.
And he came out fawn.
And that's what I tell everybody. I bred my brindle female to his male that was produced off of brindles. I sold the best dog off of that litter for $10,000. But nobody wants to buy a brindle. She wasn't brindle, but nobody wants to touch a brindle. Fine. Leave me to it. My structure's going to be on point. I'm going to be there. Y'all just leave it to me then. And I tell everybody, you don't have to like brindle, but you're going to buy puppies off of a brindle dog.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That's male that Gabe just bred to, it was a brindle dog. Didn't pass a lot of his brindle on. There's a couple of them in there that got it, but they're going to buy those puppies just because they're Isabellas and stuff. Mm-hmm. It don't matter.
So you personally, man, what do you prefer? Like, you know, aside from the DNA and stuff like that, when it comes down to a stud, or running your stud to a female or whatever, would you rather pay the stud fee? And
absolutely,
yeah.
I mean, you can do pup backs, and I get it. Sometimes people don't have the money and they're trying to get going in the game. Gabe did a lot of that to get to where he is with this, because at the time he probably couldn't afford it or wouldn't have paid the stud fees it was to get the DNA in the dogs. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him. It was easier to give up a pup. But I done that on my first litter. And that was the hardest thing I ever done, was just let that dog go for a few $1,000 stud fee. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a stud out there that is worth one of my puppies. I don't care.
You'd rather just pay it?
I'd rather pay it.
Let me have what's mine.
If his stud fee's $5,000 and you give him a puppy, they're probably going to sell it for $10,000,
$15,000, $20,000.
And that's money you could have. Now, you look at this litter. And I told Gabe, don't be doing no pup backs with the stud on her. Because if you hit it, he could be giving him a $100,000 dog when he could have just paid the $5,000 stud fee. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give up $95,000.
Nah.
You know, $100,000 there, just pay the stud fee. And I told him, if you don't got it, we'll get it. It's not a big deal. We'll figure that out down the road, but don't give him a $100,000 dog for free. And that's the thing with the DNA. If it's just a normal breeding, I mean, it worked out great for Gabriel. Somebody did a putt back with him on Tony. That's where he got his chocolate and tan female. Mm-hmm. But so, it's got to be the right female for the stud owner to do
it. Yeah, yeah. So that's you with a female. Right. Now, let's say you have a stud and people come at you like, hey.
If it's the right female with the right DNA,
I'll do it. All day. If it's all the right female. That's how you can build your yard, yes. Right?
Your yard. That chocolate and tan female I got, that's how I got her.
Yeah.
You know, I did the breeding and I did a putt back. I picked her out.
Now, don't get me wrong. If it was like Gabriel or somebody.
Yeah.
That I wanted to breed to his dog and he was like, I don't want a stud fee. I want a putt back. In a heartbeat, I'd do it because it's right there. I know we're going to swap back and forth.
Yeah.
For me, all my females going outside of my yard and outside of my group, I don't want to give somebody else what I already worked for.
Yeah.
And let them sell it to somebody else because they're not going to keep it on their
own. Oh, yeah. More likely, they're just going to.
They're just flipping it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, and I tell Gabriel this all the time. Tony was a year late. All this DNA stuff really started. All these colors started. If he'd had Tony a year earlier, Gabriel's probably living in Hawaii or somewhere. He'd be rich. I mean, that's... And you got to look. I mean, we can go back to where their blood come from, all the way back to Reuben Fry.
He lives in Lubbock, but he's still rich, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he lives in a big house and drives a BMW. I drive a Chevy Malibu and live in a truck.
You got the Toyotas.
Yeah, so... But... And I tell everybody this, and Gabriel will testify to it, Reuben Fry. I always say he's one of them that did it right. He's always had a stud, and he's always started to produce them. He bought his first couple, but it's just one right after another.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken their dog money, turned it into a real estate company.
Wow.
Him and his wife. I mean, I've watched his kids grow up on Facebook. It's just, they have done amazing things. Mm-hmm. But he was in the market at the right time.
Yeah.
And Ruben's got a team that supports him.
Yes. And that's the other thing. I don't care. You can go look on his page now. You can look back 8 years ago. The same people that was in his kennel that he was working with.
Still rocking with him.
Are still the same ones. When he goes on vacation, they go on vacation. And he'll tell you, just because my name's more recognized, don't think they didn't put their work in and they're not eating as good as I am. And they do, you know, and that's the way we are. We just believe that we should all work together. And it's easier when you can get a team to get to that top of the mountain than when one person's trying to do it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's plenty of food at the table for everybody. Right.
You know, we've talked about that. Gabriel's doing his thing. Like he said, he wasn't worried about the color. He was more worried about the structure. Me and Gabe, on the other hand, we were already headed towards that other way. I mean, I kept my structure with my brindles and stuff, and I was adding them in. And Gabe, again, the same way, he had a lot of dogs off that Tony line that we've done it with. And in the end, when they all come together, We've all kind of went in a different direction, but to get to the same point.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when it finally hits, we're going to be the top dogs because we'll have the structure, the DNA, the health, everything we need in a dog. Mm-hmm. We didn't sacrifice structure and health to get this DNA in our dogs.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't order a dog from overseas that got a snout on it.
A lot of thinking goes behind our breeds. A lot. Yeah. You know, a lot of thinking, a lot of calculation, a lot of talking, a lot of, hey, what do you think? This, that. We don't just do it just to, you know, let's just get it. Let's knock it out. You know, we think about it. So if you've gotten a dog from either me, Kevin, or Gabe, you're getting good stuff. You're not getting no just washed down stuff. You know, everything's worked and built to get a great dog.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, man. And I mean, and just the dogs that I've seen, that you know, I've seen some of your dogs, and I'm sure that was, man, bro, I don't know. It's been a while.
Right.
It's been almost a year now because our girl was a puppy then.
Right.
Yeah, she was a puppy. And just from what I saw, it's good quality. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, you know, we talked about the last time in the bonus episode that we did on our podcast. He said, just like the dope game. You know what I mean? You got to have good stuff. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like in the dope game, you go out and buy some work and you try to throw it and then you lose it. You're like, dang, because it wasn't good work, you know? But that good stuff is going to come back, you know? Yeah. And it's going to have people, like you say, calling you, trying to find you because I know what he's got is fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to stamp your product, man. You got to market your product. And like I told Kevin, I want someone to see my dogs and be like, that's a TBM dog right there.
You know,
all
that's,
day.
Yeah, you just know.
That's what I tell everybody. I mean, look, I just had 17 puppies. I still got a couple little males that I'm trying to get rid of, but they're gone. Go look on my Facebook page. I didn't advertise a ton of dogs. I just post them. Just post them up and they go. You know, if you have a following and people know what you're producing, you don't have to worry about selling dogs. Even in this economy and all that, your dogs will sell themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell everybody, if a Frenchie is not selling itself, you ain't doing it right.
Yeah, you're doing it right. Yeah. So, man, we've been talking for a while, man. You know, we do this all day.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to DNA real quick, man, you know, this episode was more geared towards the DNA. You know, we're going to be posting like, hey, you know, if you have any questions or if there's something that you want to know, you know, we definitely want to, you know, direct them to you, you know, so that way,
they can ask me. And I'm not the end all be all DNA God. And I mean, a lot of people will disagree on some stuff, but at the end of the day, the company sends you a sheet back with what the DNA is, and it tells you exactly what color each thing is. So, I mean, there's really not a big argument over it.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, we can argue over what the price of a dog is. We can argue over all that. The DNA is the DNA. The structure is the structure. It is what it is. But I can tell you whatever it's going to produce.
Yeah.
But it's just not, any question. But there is still a lot of new people out there that have absolutely no clue about it.
Yeah.
So they have questions. They can, once we post this out on Facebook, wherever we post it, they can actually hit you up.
I have an inbox full of people. I got people from California that want to drive out here just so I can do their breeding. I'm like, you got people that's really good at it right there in California. I want you. Well, it's cheaper to stay there. No. Well, how much will it cost me to get you to come out here? I'll fly you out here to do my breeding. They hit me up and they're like, hey, I tested my dog today. She's at a 4.5. When should I breed her? Mm-hmm. Test her again tomorrow. Let me know. I'll tell you, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, that's the other thing in breeding. There's different charts. There's a mini vitus chart and there's an IDEX chart. And you got to know what you're testing on.
Because they're different, right?
Yes. I mean, they're close to start off with. And then mini vitus kind of doubles the IDEX numbers. So, you know, if you come at me with a 4.5 and you say it's an IDEX, well, I'm going to tell you to breed in 48 hours. If it was really on a mini vitus, we ain't even close.
Still early.
Yeah, we're still early because on a mini vitus, she don't hit ovulation until a 9 or a 10. Hmm. 4.5 is start of ovulation on an IDEX, you know.
So you got to know these things.
You got to know them, you know. Okay. So I got an inbox of people that did ask me questions, and I don't mind it because I love to talk dogs, and I'll help anybody I can out.
Yeah.
So.
Hell, I do all my breedings, and now Kevin does them for me. Now, if Kevin's not around, I'll just do my own breedings, but if he's around, like, hey, Kevin, she's almost ready. You want to come on and do some tests? Yeah, we'll run them. He shoots them, and we're gone.
You know? Get it gone. So back to the DNA real quick, man. Is there any questions that you could think of that the people might ask that you could answer right now? Or do you just want to wait for them to come in? Like, I mean, basic, simple things, like a minute or two worth of things that you could probably think of.
You know, I can tell everybody the only thing that covers up brindle is cream. Cream covers all color. That's where a lot of people get confused. If your dog is cream, it can be lilac, it can be chocolate, it can be merle underneath there. And that's the other thing. When you're breeding merles, you don't breed merle to merle. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people ask too, you know. And they ask, well, I guess that's the biggest thing a lot of people get confused over is they buy a dog off of a merle dog, but that dog isn't visibly merle. Unless it is cream, there's no way it's merle. Cream will hide the merle, but if it ain't a cream dog, if it's a blue dog or a lilac dog,
it's just that,
and it doesn't carry merle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll hear cryptic merle. The only way it's a cryptic merle is if it's covered in cream. Other than that, your dog's not merle.
Or what about the tweed merle? Like, for instance, this female I just sold to Rick.
Right.
She's a tweed merle, right? Or what do you call it? Harlequin, right? What was it?
Yeah, your Harlequin usually has like three colors on it or whatever. And that one, and I'm going to be honest, a merle is a merle to me. Mm-hmm. They can say, my last litter I had an atypical merle. I had regular merles and all that. But they were all covered in cream. You couldn't tell what they was. They were off a milkman. My female was cream. He was cream. All the dogs are cream, you know. So I had the DNA test walking under. I had one platinum Merle underneath it. And I had an atypical Merle, which you can read all day about the Merle genes because new stuff comes out on them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just not. But when it comes to DNA, it's always two copies. They got to have one from the mom and one from the dad. And everybody's like, well, the mom makes up a bigger portion of the pup. And some people argue the dad makes up a bigger portion. No, it don't. 50-50. You get a gene from here and a gene from there, you know. And I tell them, not every puppy's going to look the same. Not every puppy's going to come out with the same, you know. Unless, like I said, it's a lilac to lilac. You pretty much know what you're going to get in color. But if you believe that because these two dogs matched up or whatever, every dog should look the same. Mm-hmm. It would be no different than people. Your parents, all y'all should look identical if that's the way it happened. No, it don't. I mean, they're like, that's what they say. Well, if they both give 50-50, everybody looks identical. No, because it's always a different lineup of genes mm-hmm. that's given. Yeah. So it's never the same. And people are dogs. You can get the best structured dog or not. I mean, you know, and Gabriel will testify that. His little chocolate and tan female that he bred Tony two off of his yard. You can't tell that he didn't pull that dog off of one of his females. Mm-hmm. You know, but how many Tony pups are out there like that?
Right. I mean,
and it's not that Tony can't reproduce himself. He does. Not every dog is going to be a Tony. Not every dog was going to be a Dax.
You can't guarantee that. Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So genes are genes.
Because the other side has a lot to do with that as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you can't have like a little reindeer ass looking dog and right. take it to one of the top studs and expect that right. stud to clone itself.
You might get a decent looking, one decent looking dog out of that, mm-hmm. but the rest of them's going to be trash.
Yeah.
Well, when I bred Tony to that hyena.
Oh.
Mufasa.
That breeding was so bad, he would never even send me a picture of the female.
and that's why a lot of times you have to say to approve females only,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's like your name is going behind this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the hard part about being a stud owner. Every pup that comes off your yard or every pup that you breed to someone else or every pup off that litter.
It's all a reflection of
you. It's a reflection of you and your male. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are like, I want a dog, but I want him to look just like your male. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I want the whole litter to look just like that too, but I can't promise that. I can't guarantee it.
And that can kill a stud. If you breed to a bunch of ugly dogs and all he has is ugly puppies, why does anybody want to use him?
Mm-hmm.
You got stud owners need to be more selective in who they let breed to their dog if they want to get their dog to the top.
Yeah.
If you don't care about it and you're just trying to make some quick money, breed it to anybody that shows up. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Like I said, Gabriel was embarrassed to have bred to that one dog. I never seen a picture of that dog. But then I got called to go breed the dog. And I still didn't know that was the dog. And I called him and I was like, man, I just went and bred this Merle that looked like a miniature greyhound. And he's like, yeah, that's the one. And I'm like,
that's the one.
I was like, wow, I can nearly walk under her. You know, she was tall. And, you know, and she did throw an ugly dog. I mean, he wasn't ugly, but she threw a big dog. We went to a dog show in Amarillo. This lady come up. She's like, oh, I got a Tony son. And I'm looking. I'm looking for the Tony son, you know. Where's the little dog at? This big, she keeps shoving this big French bulldog in my face. I mean, he was big. And I was like, where's the Tony son? She's like, this is him. And I was like,
oh, damn.
He's off of that dog, whatever. She's like, yeah. Gabriel come over and I was like, hey, she got that Tony son over here. And here goes Gabriel looking all around that dog. Where's the Tony son? And I was like, it's the big one, Gabriel off of Cookie. And he's like, oh.
Damn. You know,
but it happens when you breed Jordan. Tony's the smallest dog around.
Yeah.
But he made a big one.
You got some big kids out there, man.
I mean, it wasn't him. It was the mom. But they can take either direction.
So, hey, but 95% of that litter came out solid.
So with DNA, I mean, even on color, you can almost guarantee you what your colors are going to be by selecting the right male and the right female. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand what your dog carries and what that one carries. Otherwise, you're going to be sold a lot. So, if like we were talking about earlier when somebody says it carries Isabella. Well, just because it carries the B gene doesn't mean it carries everything else to make an Isabella.
Yeah.
So you can buy that dog and breed it to a full Isabella and never make an Isabella out of that dog because it doesn't carry blue. If it doesn't carry blue with the B gene, you can never produce an Isabella off of that dog. I don't care what you breed it to. Because it never has the right combination to make that color.
Yeah.
Because Isabella and Lilac, again, are a combination of colors, not a single color. There's not a single trait. You can't find anywhere on any DNA company, you can't test for Isabella or Lilac. You can test for all the colors that'll make it, but you cannot test for that single color. That's why I tell everybody, until they add that to a DNA sheet and you can test for it, you cannot call it that on my page.
Yeah.
It cannot carry Isabella. It cannot carry Lilac.
And that's good, man. You know, we need people like that that'll run these pages like that because, like you said, man, they just start letting people in and it just becomes a big
old... Right, and that's what I tell them. Y'all want to get on here and gripe about new breeders, but then y'all want to sell the new breeders a bag of crap.
Like they need to be instructed, right educated. Yes. And that's the whole point of this podcast, you know, and... we're not trying to say, like you said, man, we ain't perfect. We don't know it all, but, you know, we're trying to educate. We're trying to, you know, build a community of people that, you know, would at least try to soak up the knowledge. And that's what we're trying to do with this podcast, you know, and that's why we brought you on to school.
Right, you know, and DNA. I mean, I did have a friend in New Mexico that wanted to get into the breeding. So I was teaching her everything I know, progesterone testing, TCIs, about the DNA and all that. She ended up paying $5,000 to go to a school, a class, to learn about DNA, progesterone testing, TCIs, breeding, and all that. She said, I knew pretty much 90% of everything they told me. She said, there was only like one or two things I knew. I didn't know that I'd learned from you. It's not hard to learn. There's Google. Most of the stuff I've learned, I Googled it.
YouTube research.
Video. There is guys out there that do instructional videos.
That older gentleman?
Yeah, what's his name? Love My Pooch?
Yeah, Love My Pooch or something.
Something like that. I mean, he's really, really great. I learned a lot from him. But if you just read, progesterone is the biggest one because there's so many disagreements. Like you said, some people say breed at this number, breed at that number. I'll blow your mind. I don't want to breed at a number. I want to know when she ovulated. And then I don't care what her number goes to after that. Once she ovulates, 48 hours after that, I'm breeding that dog. Unless it ships semen, then I'm waiting 72 hours just to make sure she's prime. I don't care if her number goes completely off the chart. Does not bother me. I want to know when she ovulated so I know what day to breed. 24 to 48 hours before the eggs are fertilized, before they can be fertilized. I don't care. I don't care what her numbers climb to. When she ovulates, it's still that same amount of time before you can get those eggs to be fertilized.
Yeah.
So, but the old school way is breed at this number, you know. Breed on day 9, 10, 11. Breed at this number, breed at this number, or breed at that number. I figured it out. You don't have to. And I do know, I've done enough progesterone tests to know what number I bred them at and how many puppies they had and whether they were male or females. When I started that, what did I tell Gabriel? I said, my main thing that I wanted to learn was, what's the sweet spot? Where do you get males and where do you get females and where do you get the best litter? Mm-hmm. I figured it out. I'm not going to share that, but I figured it out.
Some things are just not to be told.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, if they want that. But
the game Gabriel, is to be sold, not told. Man.
Yeah, say that, but when I go out and I do a breeding, I do the same thing to that customer. I explain it from front to the end. What I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and how they should be looking at their dog from then on. I try to educate them because if I'm not there the next time, I want them to be still successful.
Yeah.
When they go to somebody else if they have to go to the vet because I'm in California to get their dog tested, I want them to understand what they're looking at, when they should be breeding their dog, whatever. It don't matter. They still call me or text me and be like, hey, my dog's this. When should I breed it? And I tell them. It don't matter. I mean, and I don't make nothing off that. I probably get 10, 15 messages a day. People from all over the country. Hey, my dog's this. When should I breed her?
After this podcast airs, that's going to triple.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it has slowed down. That's a slowdown from when I was traveling. Holy cow. Sometimes I'd have to make my wife drive just so I could answer messages.
Yeah. That's crazy, you know? Man.
So, hey, Kevin, where can people reach out to you at, man?
They can reach me on my Facebook page, Kevin Easterwood, or we have a What the Frenchies page there. So that's, I'm on Instagram too. I don't know what it is. I don't get on there much, but Facebook is usually the best place to reach us, you know.
And so on your What the Frenchies page, is it What the Frenchies? That's the actual name. Okay.
That's the actual name. Okay. I mean, we started that to try to get everybody to use that and all that. And I don't know if my promoting skills wasn't good, or they just found me and they just come to me. I mean, I do more promoting on my page than I do anything.
Well, I'll get your information, man, and I'll drop it below in the description of this podcast too. So that way, you know, people can stay connected with you. And if they have any questions, you know, stuff like that. So, well, man, thanks, bro, for hopping on. It was a lot of information, man.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, I get to come back again.
Oh, for sure, man. This is just the beginning, man. It's just the jump. And
because I know you know more than just DNA, bro. So, we'll definitely have you back on. But thanks for taking the time, man. You know, out. And
I appreciate y'all guys having me.
Yes, sir. And I guess we'll on this note, we'll holler at you guys next week. Peace.
Later.